the belief that we had then was content drives profit for the business. That's why we need to create content.
You probably wouldn't be here listening to this podcast if you also didn't believe this comment, because that's exactly what we're here to do, to win the content game, which means let's make that money. And so with this next three-part series on Win the Content Game, I wanted to bring on my good friend Luis Cameo from BizBros, because I know, having spoken to many of you, that you may have video on your mind. Yep. What we're hearing more and more these days is that if you're going to create content, it needs to be video content. And well, they're not wrong. In fact, video content is what we here at Capshow are doing more and more of. And hint, you can find out more about what we've actually been up to behind the scenes on Players Only. So link to that is in the show notes. Anyway, with video on our minds, I immediately thought of Luis and his six video profit levers. And so that framework is exactly what we're going to be going deep on into over the next three episodes, so that you have what you need to create video content that you can actually make money from. So hang on tight, grab a pen and a piece of paper, because this one is going to be an awesomely wild ride. Luis, I feel like I need to introduce you in the same way that you always introduce me when you're like, DJ. So, oh my gosh, Luis.
That's like my every hello to every Zoom call.
Right. Yeah.
Just DJ.
I don't even doubt that. Oh my gosh, I'm excited to have you on this podcast. And for anyone who does not know who this amazing guest is I have on, Luis Cameo. Come out.
That's right. You go so much better from the first time that you ever said it. So yes.
Yeah. I'm always going to blame / credit my Australian accent for every mispronunciation that I do. But you are one part of the BizBros,
yes.
Which I know that as soon as we met, and we would have met, gosh, only like 2 years ago, not even, I don't even,
it's, probably longer, it feels like, I think 3 years now.
Time flies. But as soon as we met, it was like a cosmic intervention. It was like it was meant to be, because we literally nerd out on all of the same stuff. I mean, your podcast is called Content is Profit, because I think we're on the same page here that like content is the anchor. It's like it drives so much of what it is that we get out there, how we build that credibility and authority, how we get partnerships and ultimately clients, right? It's how we make money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny, like the name started as in like, we're going to launch a podcast. What should we call it? And the belief that we had then was content drives profit for the business. That's why we need to create content, because that's our almost second attempt to creating consistent content. And we're like, we're going to name it that to cement that belief. And 4 years later, more than 500 episodes later, it's true. So yeah,
it's been crazy. So crazy. Okay, so I'm excited. We're going to be diving into the video profit levers. Now, I say levers, you say levers.
Well, again, I have a Hispanic accent, so who knows what the American version is. But yes, I call it levers.
Yeah. It's a Hispanic and Australian accent on this one. So with our powers combined, we will at some point merge into an American accent. But video profit levers is what I'm going to call it. Yeah. And this is a six-part. So there's six levers that we're going to be going into around how you personally, as in the BizBros, drive profit through your content. And not only you, but you help your clients do the exact same thing through this strategy.
I mean, we had incredible feedback from your amazing event in Orlando. And, you know, I think it was the first time that we actually made this public the way that we did. And it was so cool to see the reaction of everybody. Normally, I was very nervous, not going to lie, because it's original content. And it's like from our own experience over the last 5 years, things that we have identified that if you play with them, depending on what your business needs at the time, it can boost from productivity to efficiency to profits, right? And it's really exciting to see, because everybody will resonate with at least one of these. Mm-hmm. And you can make you can take action on it immediately, which is very exciting to me.
Okay, so talk us through how, so I know you gave us like the short version of how this came about. Really, it was through doing it yourself and helping your clients through it. But in terms of like the, because we go through, I know, you know, we go through a bit of a journey to get to come at the other end with this ta-da, like framework. And so I know that there'd be a lot of missteps. There'd be a lot of things that you might've tried and was like, okay, not the thing, try this thing instead. What, tell us a little bit about that. Like, what did you go through and what did you maybe put your clients through in order to, in order to actually figure something out that works?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just this morning, I saw a post of a very big entrepreneur that, you know, that we know in the space, and it was something like, I am done with video editors. I cannot find somebody that understands me, whatever, right? And it's important to understand that each team member or yourself, like the hat that you wear inside of your own content framework, needs different abilities, right? So a video editor is not going to be a marketer, right? He might have some marketer in him, but he's not. So the issue is that in today's world, because we see so much content going out, we think everything is like one thing. So that what happens is, obviously, you know, when we started the show on the side, we have a production agency, we still do. And a lot of people were coming to us because the main issue was, I need to produce content that generates revenue for my business, right? Mm-hmm. So we started telling everybody that we're a production house, we're not a marketing agency, because what happens, people start to merge both together, right? Mm-hmm. So we were trying to find people that knew the marketing, but needed the support on the production side. So Here's an example is they know the strategy. They know what to say. They know their message, right? So let's take podcasting, right? Because we also own a podcast studio. So they're like, let's say podcasting. I know exactly what to say on my podcast. I know my message. I know who I sell to and I know what problems I solve, but I don't have anybody that can move that creation into a production that I can actually distribute over all my channels or Facebook ads or whatever they want to do, right? So our hypothesis at the time was like, we're just going to help on the production side. What we started to find out is that, and we've served hundreds of clients that, you know, up to this date, is consistently nobody had it figured out, not even the big people, right? Wow. And you'll be very surprised. We work with some incredible entrepreneurs that even though they have success on the traction of the content that is performing, is hitting all the metrics, what we call the vanity metrics, right? Because the first thing, it doesn't drive profit or it doesn't drive the specific one. And there's other elements that are hidden that sometimes we're missing because we never get out of the phase of, I need to produce content. So over the years, we've been extracting a lot of that information and created these six levers, like blueprint or framework that we constantly use with who is going to be working with us and identify where can we help them, right? So obviously our strength is the production side, but once that's taken care of, and you'll see in a second, a lot of things start to uncover, right? So for example, let's say we spend 10 hours a week trying to come up with ideas and producing a podcast, right? And then when the podcast is ready, we put it out into the platforms and then what, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we said on your event was the one-to-one rule. If I spend 1 hour producing and creating something, then, you know, rule of thumb is, can we spend an hour promoting that creation, right? Because the marketing needs to be marketed for people to attract the eyes and filter and start filtering people through your funnel. And then guess what? Once that starts happening, then, well, people are not converting. Well, why are people not converting into our calls or our lead magnet? We might not be solving the right problem. So that's not a production problem. That is a monetization and a management problem, right? Because it's like, okay, is the lead magnet the right vehicle? Is the call the right vehicle? So there's all these problems that people don't see right off the bat because we're so busy with the first like three stages. Yes. But then it opens up for this new amazing set of opportunities where we can start improving on different things. And if we know these six levers, we know what can be coming and we can start preparing right off the bat to be able to take care of those as soon as possible.
Man, I'm so excited. I'm so pumped. Okay. So really what we're going to be doing over the next 3 weeks of this podcast, really, like today we're going to dive into, have an overview of the six video profit levers. And I really want to sometimes we just hear the words and it doesn't quite click, but I really, really want to underline the word profit, because this whole framework is designed for you to actually get people into a monetization vehicle of some form. And we'll get into what some of those examples could be. But that's everything that we're driving to, all of this content that we're creating to win the content game. Winning the content game is all about, I'm so passionate about this, it's all about not just putting content out there, it is actually putting content with intentionality, because at the end of the day, we all need a result, an outcome, right? Otherwise, why are we spending all this time doing this, right? Yeah. So this is what I love about your framework, because it's you're going to break that down for us and we're going to go deep into that. So the next 3 weeks, because I'm going to get you back on, Louis, and we're going to talk about maybe some roadblocks and struggles that we might have faced trying to implement your first three. But then I do want to actually spend a bit of time in that episode as well, going deep into any levers that we don't cover off in today's episode. Is that cool?
That's perfect. And I'm excited. Awesome. And I'm very honored that you guys are actually going to go try and do this, right? Because a lot of people we talk about, they're like, oh, that sounds great. But then it's like, what do we implement? So, you know, for you, DJ, today, and for everybody listening or watching, right? There's going to be a lot of terms and a lot of things, right? That a lot of pieces. Imagine puzzle pieces. I want you to maybe take one or two and be like, those are the two things that I'm going to work on, because it's going to help you so much more, right? So ready.
Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Why don't you take us through the six, just as a like overview of the six video profit levers?
Absolutely. Even before I go into the six, there's something that I need to mention for people to keep in mind, right? And if you are not driving or not doing anything else, I'll say grab a piece of paper and write these four things, right? These four elements are going to be present in each of the levers and are going to help you kind of measure and take action right off the bat. So the first one is, what are my resources currently, right? Do you have a team? Is it just you? Do you have a virtual assistant? Do you have your son that helps you, like in your business or in your content production, right? I wish I had Luca helping me out, but you know, I have my brother instead. Luca is my 5-year-old, by the way, for those who don't know. But anyways, so what are the resources that I currently have? One, that's point A. And what are the resources that I want to have? And maybe you don't know those yet, but that could be a good target, right? So for example, I don't have an editor. I would love to have an editor, right? That's just a specific example. Then right below that, right, capacity. What's the capacity of those resources? So if it's just you, do you how much time do you have, right, to tackle content in general, right? Maybe it's 2 hours a week. Maybe it's 5 hours a week. How much time do you have? If it's your team, how much time are they available to work on content? So normally, like, let's say if you have a virtual assistant, they might be doing some other tasks, but specifically for content, how much time do they have? And then at the bottom, what's your consistency today? Normally, when people start looking at this, they might be doing like once a week podcast episode or one clip a day or maybe nothing, right? What's like, are you being consistent, right? That's maybe the right question. And then what will be your target consistency? For us on the podcast specific, it's 3 times a week. Lately, we haven't been hitting 3 times a week. So our capacity has been diminishing, right? So how can we get to that point? And then at the bottom, what's your messaging, right? Like, who do you help? Who's your dream client? What are the problems that you're solving? So that's a very quick overview. So those four things, resources, capacity of those resources, consistency, and messaging, it's all going to be present in the levers. So let's go to the levers real quick. So the first one, and the most exciting to me, is going to be the WTS, right? Like the what to say. And so a lot of people are like, okay, you know, I feel like I have a lot of stuff in my head that I can put out to the world. But then once they get through that initial excitement of things, what to say, they run out of topics, right? So that's the first thing. Like, what are the things that we say? We can call it research if you want, right? The second one is like, okay, if now I have that information, the creation, how do I actually create it? And then this is not mistaken by production. Like, creation is the act of actual creation. So for example, right now I'm sitting in my studio, Deirdre sitting in her studio, we're creating together. So what does that look like? Is that the phone? Is that the computer? Is that a camera? Is that, you know, a phone call? Like, what does that creation, you know, moment look like and feel like to you? The third one is production. So this raw footage that we have right now, how do we turn it into a final product that we want to market, right? Like a podcast episode, a YouTube video. There's a production process there between raw content and the final product. Then the next one is distribution. How do I actually put that production into the world, right? So what are distribution channels that we have, right? Are we putting this on YouTube and then promoting on social media? Are we doing a podcast episode and putting it in a newsletter, for example? Is it a daily email distribution? How do we get this creation into the world? Then it's like monetization. That's the fifth one, which is what most people are very excited about. But often we don't even get to that because we don't control the other ones, right? It's like, okay, how am I connecting, you know, my message to my business? So through this podcast, you know, there might be some people that might need some help. Well, my call to action on this specific podcast is like, first go to Deidre because they're going to take care of a lot of these stages for you with their amazing software. But then send me a DM and I'm happy to help you out, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And then the last one is, how do we actually manage all of this operations, right? A lot of people don't even look at this because they're like, oh, I just want to put a video on there. And then they send a message to the video editor, like, when am I going to get my video back? Or I'm going to put it out or whatever. And they don't have a system, a predictable system to be able to produce consistently and then learn from what we're producing and feeding back the machine. So that's a quick overview. I'll stop there if you have any questions so far. Make sense so far?
No, that makes so much sense. And again, I want to call this out because I think a lot of us are going to be listening to this and be like, oh yeah, I've heard all these words. I've heard about monetization and marketing. And the reason why I have Luis on this podcast is because I miss even now a lot of this stuff. I think it was to your point, Luis, you were saying like there are a ton of entrepreneurs who know what they're doing and they know all the things, but still it's easy to sometimes let one of these things slip, one of these levers slip and not be able to consistently join the dots. And so I think if we can just get into the consistency of going through these levers and going, yep, am I doing, you know, the research? Am I, you know, creating the way that is going to not only be really good and authentic to you, but also will vibe with my audience? You know, am I creating that in that way? You know, am I doing this? Because a lot of times we just skip these steps and I really, really want us to be intentional. So thank you for that. That was insanely helpful. So I want to really dive deep into, let's say the first three for now, because I think we're going to run out of time and then we're going to get you back and go through the last three as well. But I really want to go into what to say, because you're right. This does trip up a lot of people. And I'm going to be honest, it's kind of tripping. Okay. So Luis, just so you know, this episode is going to be in our second month of rebranding from Grandma Podcast Show to Win the Content Game. And yeah. Already, I'm kind of freaking out about that I'm not going to have enough content for Win the Content Game. So, so I'm in this boat as well. Okay. So can you, like, if you're talking to me, you're talking to a ton of other content creators who are like, hey, maybe I just get guests on and they just, you know, they kind of dictate what it is that I'm going to say. Like, how do you coach yourself and your clients through this?
Yeah, absolutely. So before we even get to that, there's three key elements, right, that we want to take a look at here, like as we move forward with like maybe specific examples. But one is the creator itself, like you, your company, like who's actually the face of the company doing this, right? The second one is your audience. Obviously, we want to connect with your audience. And then the third one is friction, right? So friction is anything that slows down the process within the levers, right? So we're going to be looking at this. So for example, some issues on the creation side could be mindset issues that connects a creator, right? For example, oh, I'm not good enough, or I don't know enough content. I'm like, how long have you been doing this, right? We worked with people, for example, that have been doing the same business for 20 years very successfully. And they still, like, when they try to put their thoughts into their mouth and put it out to the world, they freeze. And it's like, okay, well, that's not a knowledge issue. Is more of a mental block, right? So how do we work mm-hmm. through those things? And then the audience, what we like to remind people is like, it's not only the people that consume your content, but also the people that you collaborate with on your content. So, you know, an example of this is me and Deidre, we both have been on each other's podcasts, right? We've both been on creating content together at events. And then behind cameras, we've collaborated many times. And mm-hmm. there's probably going to be more collaboration that will boost the business. I mean, Deidre, your event opened the doors to me to speak at CEX, which was insane. Like, that was something that I was not expected, but it's an opportunity that could become profit for me down the road. Yes. So again, I want you guys to open your mind on this. And friction, that's going to be very specific to you. Like, an example for us was when we first started the first podcast, Before Content is Profit, we had an hour set up before we even started recording. That's a ton of friction. If we're going to do this three times a week, we cannot be wasting 3 hours a week. Right? So we have to get very specific with that. And that evolved into now owning a studio where we can just plug in the computer and go. But there was like several steps to get to that point. So remember that as we go into the first levers, right? So obviously we're going to start with the what to say. So a couple of questions that I want people to start asking, like, what is one solution that you're providing with each piece of content, right? So you guys, specifically with Captcha, right? Mm-hmm. You guys have a roadmap. Who are you trying to help? Again, it goes back to the message. What are specific problems that they have with it? Maybe there's a decision that has to be made where it's like, do you want to entertain or do you want to educate? Or maybe do you want to educate while entertaining, right? So maybe think about that. And that maybe goes with personality. a good example is like I met with Fonzie the other day and we're like, man, I really want to do some like comedy skits, right? In like for short form, where it's like nice. A content situation, and then we just do something really funny, and then we started going down that path, and it might not be produced because of capacity and different things, but you know that's what we want to. Those are the conversations that we want to do. So you know, it could be educational content where it's like demos or like going through very specific questions that your customers might have, right? Or entrepreneur, you know, content situations that are really funny and then you guys really enjoy doing them because it goes with your personality, right? Like every business will have their own take. How can a piece of content be a massive win for the person consuming it, right? So like one thing that you create, what will create a massive leverage for, you know, for your client? Whether that's like, okay, if I take that information that Jiri's saying and I apply it today, is that going to provide a win? Like that's some questions that can trigger that for our specific case. How can our podcast experience be a massive win for our guest? Well, we're part of the HubSpot Podcast Network, for example. So that will create a ton of exposure for them, hopefully, right? Then we can also send you guys assets because we have a production house on the back end that we can produce content and we'll send them content. So how can create a positive experience on that and make your consumer or your audience a big win? And how can I accelerate their success, right? So there's an example of this. There's this physics professor and all he does is Zoom explaining a physics topic. There's no production. It's just a Zoom call and he's on the whiteboard, but he's explaining things very clearly because he knows what he's talking about and he's explaining questions on students. And each video has about 1 million views. Me, I'm not the consumer, so I'm not going to watch that. But the person that's looking the answer to that specific question, he has a very unique way to explaining it and people seem to understand it and people are winning and that's why they keep coming back to him, right? Mm-hmm. So again, yeah. On your side of things, I think going back, you guys have an incredible community of people that maybe on the research side, you guys go to them and be like, what are 5 to 10 things that we can help you today that will make a difference and move things forward? And they will tell you 100%, right? And then grab those 10 people and things, there are 100 things. And then we can start spinning those into different pieces of content. So now you have 2 years worth of content just with that one piece of questions that you can ask them internally, right? Does that help so far?
Yeah, for sure. My mind's already going with like, okay, let me get started on this. How do I make this happen?
Yeah, there's a good example. There's a company called Ladyboss and they're ClickFunnels, you know, they came out of that world and they had an incredible presentation where they said, we've never developed a product without asking our audience first. And they grew that way where they were asking their audience, what do they want? And then they will go then create it. With content, it's very similar. You're creating a product. Your product is the content. So right now, today for us, a lot of people are asking about these levers. So they're like, man, I'm so curious. Well, perfect. We're probably going to start creating more around this type of stuff. On the podcast, they want to know more specifics to why people are having success with content. So those are the questions that we're going to be asking, right? So listening to that. A little bonus of like, okay, you specifically are the subject matter expert. So whenever you guest on podcast, take a notepad and start writing things that you say or questions that other people are asking you because those are pieces of content that are going to help you down the road, right? That's why I have an iPad with me at all time because I'm typing, oh, but that sounded really good. And it resonated with it. They're nodding their head like, yes, okay, that resonated. Let me talk more about that, right? All the episodes, audience questions, prospect questions. You're on sales calls, for example. What are the questions that your prospect are asking, right? Bring those back and solve those problems. Clips, maybe, you know, those 60-second clips that you put on Reels on YouTube. What are outliers? What are ones that are performing really well? Well, that resonated with somebody. We actually talk about one that is like the 33% rule. That's not our rule. It's a Tai Lopez rule. But we talked about it and it got like 5,000 views. That's an outlier for us in the type of content that we produce. I'm like, oh man, okay, well, let's apply that. How do we apply the 33% rule in our content levers? Oh, yeah. That's great because now it's applicable to what we do, right? And then books and education and things that you do. So those are like, we can go on and on and on and on and on this, but these are very key examples. My advice in general, if we want to, you know, increase the audience is like, look for polarizing topics. Like if the more polarizing you are on your topic, the more people are going to resonate or not resonate. And that's okay. Because you don't want the people that don't resonate, right? For example, so you guys are deep in the AI world, right? So there's a lot of polarization there. So why is it good, for example, versus, and then you're going to be people like, I like a human being better, but like, well, no, but we can do more effective and move this faster and is actually better because X, Y, Z. So anyways, yes. You can go down that right. Lean into your own beliefs, you know, as a CEO, as a founder, mm-hmm. like what are your personal beliefs, right? Find debate. Throw rocks at on things that you don't agree with, right? Like, hey, I don't agree how these other, let's not throw rocks at companies, specific companies, but how this framework work because of X, Y, Z. So now that's going to create a ton of conversation, right? And it could help your increase attention of your audience. And then how do we remove the friction? It's like, don't overthink it, right? That's the first thing. People are like, oh, I recorded this. Should we post it? Yeah, go ahead, put it out, right? It's whatever. It's just going to be there, right? Pick one research vehicle and run with it. So like I said, you know, what's the one thing that you're going to commit to in the next couple of weeks and do that one thing instead of getting distracted with everything? You guys are probably going to get a lot more content out of that. And then outliers show the path on why, you know, we chose, you know, what we say.
Wow. Okay. We probably could have just done a whole episode just on this. I'm just going deeply into this. Oh gosh. I'm like,
that's just on solo episode. That's not even collaborating. That's even on solo content, for example, like clips or YouTube. There's another side that we could do for collaboration, right? Which is what we've done over the last 4 years with our podcast. But yeah, just teasing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Stop teasing. Okay. Let's go into creation, because this is something that I think trips a lot of people up around. And I kind of know your take on this, but like, I also want to open this up, potentially this conversation up, because a lot of times, you know, people get held back by, I don't have the right camera and the right microphone and all of these other things that come up. So again, how do you approach this with your clients?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, what do you like creating? Like that's, I think, where I'll start, right? Because you have 1,000,000,000 videos, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000, whatever that number is, right? On like why YouTube is the best vehicle, why podcasting is the best vehicle, why email is the best vehicle. They're all the best vehicle, right? But at the end of the day, based on your publishing pyramid, which are your resources, your capacity, and so on, right? Like, how can we choose to do this? So a lot of the people that we talk to, they are normally the creator, right? It's not like we've had some customers that are a massive company, and then they have ton of resources, so they can actually pick almost like a pyramid for each of the channels that they want to go to. But let's say for specific creators that maybe they might be using your platform, for example, and they're the voice, right, of it. So first off, what do you like creating? My brother loves to write, so he's going to write, right? I don't like to write, so I'd rather jump on a video. I'd rather read to 5 bullet points, and then I'll go on camera and I'll say my 5 things, and then I'm good to go, right? I really enjoy that. I remember we had a customer at one point. She was a CBD brick and mortar person that was convinced that the podcast was the way to go. And we discovered that creating a podcast for her, or recording a podcast for her, not even talking about launching it, was a lot of friction. She didn't have a camera. She had the belief that the camera needed to be the thing that she needed to record the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you budget and a good quality equipment, if you want to do something, it can be up to a couple thousand bucks, right? Just mm-hmm. to get started. And that can be really expensive very fast. But the same is to the other side. You could record a podcast out of your phone and publishing right off the bat from your phone. But are you personally, as a creator, okay with that? So we discovered that for her, she also liked to write. So when we did the inventory of her time and resources, we found that there's an hour a day between lunch and the afternoon rush that she could sit down and write. And she enjoyed to write. And then for her, it was not a podcast. It was a daily email. And guess what? Sales increased. So we just pulled that one lever and on just like, what do you like to create? And she had some vehicles in place already and it's good to go. So that's probably my one big takeaway, because we love podcasting and that's why we chose. We've never been able to be consistent if it was something different. And now we're working on different channels and assigning resources to be able to make that happen. So do you like, another question to consider, right? Do you like to riff or read from a teleprompter, right? Are you good at something like this, or you need a script, right? Where is your high energy moment? This is really good. So for us, we used to record at 5 p.m. because it was the last thing of the day and we're going to close out the day at the time. Man, we were exhausted. So we changed the time to noon because, you know, it's right before lunch, and then we can just have lunch, relax for a little bit, and do an afternoon work. So where is your high energy moment? If you have to pick one way to create, what would it be, right? So for us, we ask that question and we're like, we love having conversations with other people. Man, it energizes. We love it. We learn. We teach other people. Let's do podcasts, right? And then video can be great leverage, but do you actually enjoy doing video? So YouTube, for example, it could be an amazing tool for traffic and be discoverable for like cold traffic or whatever, right? But do we actually have the time and resources to actually create a really good 8-minute YouTube video that can keep people engaged for 8 minutes, right? That is a skill on its own. And there's just a few people that can do that and entertain. And we also have to understand the context of the platform, right? So again, education gap between us and the platform, you know, is very important. So those are things that can play into that. But I hope we can start like turning wheels around and start considering it, right? So how can we create consistently, right? Choose your type of content. Is it a short video strategy, right? Is it a long form video? Is it writing, right? Is it a podcast? I would say I'm a big fan of leveraging AI, maybe not to do everything, but to give you idea and prompts and questions. And then there's a human process. That's why Capshow is so amazing, because you actually can do that from outlier videos or from past episodes, right? Do you have remote teams, right, on the creation process? Stick to cloud solutions, right? For example, right now we're recording, can we say the name of the platform? Or on Squadcast, for example. Yeah. So Squadcast has a function that with one click, it transfers to Descript, and then your production team can take over real fast instead of downloading the files, uploading them. And then that takes 2 or 3 hours, depending on your internet, sometimes 8, depending on your internet, right? So we're not losing time. And those are precious resources that we need to assign in our 6 levers, right? And then do you have a video framework that you can go on? When we did our challenge 45 Live, which was 45 days worth of Facebook Lives, it was really challenging to come up with ideas every single day. Well, guess what? We decided, we made the commitment that we're like, all we're going to do is we're going to share a lesson of something that happened today or something that I'm reading or learning today. I'm going to share that, and then I'm going to relate it to my lesson. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, it was so exciting to go and create the video, because I'm like, I'm learning about this. Let me go share it. And then guess what? If you want to learn more, connect with us. And that's how we got our first six-figure client. Just after 15 days of doing that, people resonated with our message. We jumped on a conversation and it made sense. And then it turned into what basically launched the agency, which was very exciting, right? So stick to a simple framework. We have a framework for our interviews that you don't have to think every single time how to create. It's there for you. It's familiar. You can get better at it. And then that's going to be also a factor that's going to help you be different from other creators. I'll stop there. Do you have any questions so far?
Oh my gosh, this is so incredible. This is so much. I do actually think that we're going to now be talking about hopefully the four levers. Like, because I know that we could always talk for hours, Louise. So I'm going to stop us there for today, because in the next episode, Bono and I are going to be talking about how we have actually implemented what we've spoken about. So I'm really, really Perfect. Excited about diving deep into the what to say, the WTS step, as well as the creation step. And then the week after, you're going to come back, and I think we're going to ask you some questions, maybe some things that we're like, oh, I don't know what to do here. Hey, let's ask the expert, Louise. But I do want to try to cover off the rest of these levers, because what you have to say, this is all so valuable and so incredible. So I want to be mindful of your time, but let's do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Sounds like a good plan. Awesome.
Sounds great.
Amazing. Okay. So for people who are like, but I want to know more now, Louise, where can they connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to bizbros.co. So bizbros.co. There's all the information there. There's a quick chat at the right hand button that says contact us. If you have any questions, go put it there. Or you can go to our social media at bizbrosco everywhere. Mostly on Instagram is the one that I respond the most. So preferably there, but we're in every single platform. We monitor them. So yeah, send me a message. I want to connect. We do have a Facebook group if you're interested. So if you're on Facebook and want to be a part of it, just go to Content is Profit, and that's where it's at.
We have all of those links in the show notes. So go over there and connect with Louise and Fonzie, who is the other half of the Biz Bros, because they are just awesome people. And we have an amazing surprise for you too. I don't know if you quite caught this, but Louise kind of skimmed past the fact that they've created a collaboration process with their podcast that just works. Do you want to know what it is? Because I spent another 5 minutes with Louise where he went through the exact process. So if you want to get that exclusive bonus content, then head over to the show notes and grab it there right now. My name is Deidre Shen. Stay intelligently lazy.